I'm Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio. Last year, Illinois Supreme Court Justice Lloyd Carmire won another 10-year term. Barely. He was running for what's known as retention. Voters decide yes or no on keeping him. More outside money was spent on the $3.3 million race than in any judicial contest in the nation. That's according to a new report by three nonpartisan groups, the Brennan Center for Justice, the National Institute on Money in State Politics, and Justice at Stake. That's where Scott Graytex, general counsel. Graytex says all of that campaign money means there's a risk the concerns of ordinary people will take a back seat to the special interests and politicians who are trying to reshape courts to fit their agendas. Now, bear in mind, not all states elect their judges. Sometimes it's done by merit selection. I started out asking Graytex, does his study show Illinois going about choosing its judges the wrong way?
What we find from states that choose to elect their highest court judges, which, whether through traditional elections or through retention elections, is about 38 states in the country, we find that the problems associated with low public confidence in the operation of their courts, negative TV advertisements that tend to leave a bad taste in people's mouths, really ways that question the public's ability to have confidence in the fairness and impartiality of their judiciary, that takes place far more often in states that choose to elect their judges.
A whole lot of money was poured into races in states, including and especially Illinois. So how did my state stack up?
So Illinois ranked first in the country, unfortunately, when it came to spending done by not the candidates or not their campaigns, what we call outside spending. Actually, about $9 out of $10 that were spent over the election cycle in Illinois were spent by outside organizations. It really came from two large special interest groups, the Republican State Leadership Committee and Campaign for 2016, which were tied closely to a case that came in front of the Illinois Supreme Court.
What is wrong with, quote-unquote, outside money? Even if it is the candidate's own committee, he or she would have had to raise that, presumably, from outside groups unless it's independent wealth. What is the difference from money that's spent by outsiders versus the candidate's own campaign?
Well, outside money doesn't have to be held accountable the same way that money going to a candidate or their campaign would be. So when you see an organization like Campaign for 2016, to the voters who may see their ads, receive their campaign literature, they don't know who to hold accountable for that. Sometimes, depending on state law, those organizations might not be required to disclose who gave them money. So in Illinois, we were able to see Campaign for 2016, where they got their funding from, but in other states, we may never know. And that's an organization that spent $2 million in Illinois this cycle. Imagine how much of an impact it could have on voter education if there was no way to know who was behind that spending.
There are a whole lot of numbers that exemplify really just how much outside money came in. You said $9 out of $10, but any other figures that are really notable?
Absolutely. Some big figures that jump out. First of all, when it came to total spending on state Supreme Court elections, Illinois ranked fourth in the country. And keep in mind, the other states who were 1, 2, and 3 had multiple seats up for election. So Illinois really distinguished itself, unfortunately, by having a high rate of spending for a single race. One other stat that I would point out with Illinois is that the folks who were donating to the campaign this cycle, over 95% of those donations were $1,000 or more, meaning that the folks who are investing in these races have the means to be able to do so. Illinois also ranked third in the country on TV spending. It was $1.8 million spent on TV ads, and 90% of all dollars was outside spending. They really had some tough competition across the country, so I can't emphasize enough what that number one ranking really means.
Seems to fit in with an overall narrative of money being poured into elections. We're watching a presidential race. Illinois had a record-setting gubernatorial race last year. Is there an ongoing narrative about the money in politics, period, and what that says? Or, as we touched on when we started talking, is there something different on the judicial races?
There can be no doubt that in a post-Citizens United world, the impact of outside spending is only growing. We saw this cycle that almost a third of all money spent on judicial elections nationwide was outside spending, that's spending that's not attributable to the candidate or his or her campaign. So it's certainly a broader trend that we're seeing in the legislative and executive space. The reason it's particularly concerning in the judicial context is because your constitutional rights, your rights to free speech, your rights to have a fair day in court, right to a fair trial, shouldn't be determined at the ballot box. Those are constitutionally enshrined principles.
Illinois' governor, Bruce Rauner, he's a first-year Republican. He made some comments that the state Supreme Court is corrupt. He had also called for a ban on campaign contributions from trial lawyers, saying that he thought that that was really inappropriate because the trial lawyers obviously go before the bench. He's since somewhat dropped that. That's not one of his top-tier demands. Do you have any comment on that?
Anywhere, regardless of where it takes place, where you have a system where judges have to run for election. Elections mean campaigns. Campaigns mean money, which means that these judges have to go out with their hat in hand and raise money for their campaigns. The judges themselves sometimes become bit players in these campaigns because outside organizations will be the ones running TV ads and spending the millions of dollars. So we can't blame any single party involved in this, any interest. It's a broader system. There are states where highly regulated industries will contribute heavily to judges' campaigns or organizations that are put together on behalf of advancing their campaign. You know, trial lawyers in particular are just one interest in front of the courts, but this affects every area of public policy, every constituency, because the courts have ultimate authority over everybody.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add or that we should be looking for going forward?
The silver lining on this is that the opportunity for reform is in use in about half of the states today. Half of the states use a system of picking their judges called merit selection, a means of establishing objective criteria that folks come together on a commission and they choose judges based on quality, diversity, integrity, knowledge of the law, experience, some high-value objective criteria. And then those candidates that the panel selects, one of them is then appointed to fill the spot on the bench. So there are alternatives.
Couldn't that be ripe, though, to political insiders continuing to get the leg up just through another forum?
Well, there's no perfect system, but merit selection at least allows the public to be confident that the bases upon which somebody is being judged is objective criteria, high-quality benches, and not on who's able to raise the most money.
That was Scott Greytak, the lead author of a study, Bankrolling the Bench, The New Politics of Judicial Elections in 2013-14. I'm Amanda Vinicky, Illinois Public Radio.